It's Tuesday night, Jaguars fans. Time for the Jaguars Coaches Show. Jaguars Coaches Show. With your host, play-by-play man Brian Sexton, and the head coach of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Mel Tucker. Mel Tucker. The Jaguars Coaches Show is brought to you by Sonny's Real Fit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Jaguars Coaches Show. I'm Brian Sexton, joined by Jaguars head coach Mel Tucker here. We'll go till 7 o'clock. We'll obviously go back a little bit through last night's game, take your calls, questions, and comments, and preview this week's game with Coach Tucker. How are you tonight, Coach?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. 24-hour rule has been talked around here for years, going all the way back to Tom Coughlin.
Right.
And that really doesn't apply to you today, though, does it? Because you have lost today in your preparation. You kind of had to put this one to bed quickly and get moving, didn't you?
Yeah, we had to move on quickly, and that's just kind of part of what we have to do. But we did spend quite a bit of time reviewing the video and seeing the areas where we did well, and then areas where we obviously need to do better. And so that's always good, and that helps you moving forward to the next game.
You know, to the untrained eye, to the folks who were sitting in the stands, to the people who were simply looking to see, it appeared that Phillip Rivers caught fire there at the end of the first half. And I mean, obviously he threw a couple touchdown passes and got that thing going. And so people say, well, there you go. That's what it is when you're missing your top three corners. Is it that simple?
Sometimes it can be that simple, but in our case, I think it's a little bit more than that. You know, anytime you go into the end of the half, the first half or the end of the game, it's critical that you're able to execute in those situations, because those are tremendous momentum opportunities for either side. And we lost that phase going into the end in the first half and coming out to start the third quarter. They were able to score. And so, you know, in a matter of just a couple of minutes, you know, that's 21 points right there, and that makes it tough. But, you know, Rivers, I think he did a good job. He was able to identify some matchups that he thought he liked, and he was able to take advantage of those matchups, and we weren't able to stay on top of their receivers, and they made some plays. And so, you know, we've got to do a better job there. We expect our guys, whoever they are, whenever they're out there, to step up and make the plays that we need them to make, and we weren't able to get that done. But I feel confident that we can get those things corrected and get out there and get the job done with those same guys.
Coach, can you overcome injuries? I mean, those are key positions now. I mean, cover corner is one of those critical positions. Can you overcome injuries with scheme at some point? Or, well, we're talking about three now. We're not talking about one, because when you had Derek and William, obviously you had some frontline guys. But can you now, playing with Ashton and Morgan Trent and Kevin Rutland, is there anything you can do schematically, or is that impossible in the NFL?
There's things that we can do, and we're looking at those things. But it's a combination of you want to try to play to your player's strengths, and then you want to try to minimize their weaknesses, and at the same time, you have other guys on the field that trying to do what they do best, and then trying to stop the opponent. So there's definitely things that we're going to have to be able to do, and that's why we're here. We need to see, okay, hey, what do our guys do? What can they do? What can they execute in the game full speed to get the other team stopped? And we'll get that figured out.
Spent a lot of time talking with Tony Boselli and with Jeff Loggan about your defense, you know, 5-6 weeks ago when you had a very healthy unit, and the key word was communication. I mean, you had veteran players, most of whom had really assimilated themselves over about a 2-month period, and the communication was termed remarkable. Okay, these guys were talking, and now all of a sudden you got a bunch of new guys who were in there. How's the communication in that secondary? It obviously has to have changed.
Well, anytime you have new guys in there, you have to over-communicate, and that's, our guys are real good about that. They understand that, hey, we gotta sign and co-sign, give a call, get a call, make sure we're all on the same page. You know, even if we're on the wrong page, if we're on the same page, we can even win the down, let alone get through the down. So I think our communication has been good, but it needs to get better. The more communication you have, the more comfortable guys are pre-snap, and the faster they'll play post-snap.
Obviously, the pass and the rush go hand in hand, and you can help with some pass rush. How far was Jeremy Mincy from making an impact last night?
we were close several times. We were able to get him off the spot, get him to move his feet. But it, you know, oftentimes when you're talking about getting pressure with four, it takes all four. And what we didn't have consistently was the coordinated pass rush we need. You need to have, you know, really, really strong edge pressure with a level rush. But along with that, you have to have a good pocket collapse inside. And sometimes if you get the edge rush but the pocket's not collapsing, the quarterback can step up and buy time. Or if you get the pocket collapse and the edge rush is not there, a quarterback can get outside the pocket. So we were able to hit him and speed him up a few times, but not often enough.
Well, and again, there's another place on your roster where injuries limited you. Matt Roth was out with the concussion. Aaron Kampman still coming back from the knee injury, unable to play. And then you lose John Chick, and we find out today that John Chick is on IR. First of all, did you have a conversation with John? And then how do you replace a guy who would become a nice situational role player for you?
Yeah, I did have a conversation with John today. Chick is he's one of those guys that it's just an honor and a pleasure to be able to coach a young man like him. He's a guy that gives it everything he has day in and day out, and he is so appreciative of the opportunity to play in the National Football League. It means a lot to him.
He's had to fight to get there through Canada.
Oh, man, he's had to fight, and he loves his coaches. I mean, he plays for his coaches and his teammates. And he stopped in today, and we had a talk, and I just wanted to encourage him. But the funny, you know, the type of guy Chick is, you know, he's trying to encourage me. So yeah. It was a special moment to be able to visit with him, and I know that he'll be back at some point. But, you know, obviously we've got to find a way to generate a rush, and so we'll have to be creative. Sometimes you have to manufacture a rush, and that's something we're going to look at. We're always going to look for matchups and ways to attack pass protection and see where we may have to be exotic and things like that to with the element of surprise and
you go
disguise.
A little Rex Ryan there?
I wouldn't say that. You know,
Rex and exotic are, yeah, it's a completely different topic, yeah. I understand.
Yeah, Rex is Rex.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. All right, we have reached the time to take our first break of the evening. We'll do it now. Come back with Coach Tucker here on the Jaguars Coaches Show. You can join us, 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. And you're listening on the Jaguars Radio Network. Well, Jaguars fans, you can win a VIP game day experience to the Jaguars-Colts game on New Year's Day. From our friends at Gate, you'll get 4 game day tickets, 4 VIP Sky Patio Lounge passes, and a limo for 4 to and from the game. Stop by your nearby Gate gas station and register. Jaguars fans, put Gate in your tailgate. Brian Sexton, along with head coach Mel Tucker here on the Jaguars Coaches Show. You can join in with a thought, 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. If I can take you out of 38-14, and I know it's tough to get a coach away from that before you totally move on. Can you just share a quick thought on, I mean, you've been working a long time to get to the point where you're the head coach. You make your debut on Monday Night Football. I saw the smile on your face at one point as you walked out on the field. I mean, can you just share a quick thought on what it felt like to be the head coach last night?
Well, once I hit the grass, I was comfortable. I felt fine. It's all the things leading up to the game that you're not used to,
right?
In a typical week, you know, as an assistant coach, media obligations, you know, the active inactive list, the officials meeting before the game, things like that. There's just a several things, you know, who you're going to announce, captains, you know, there's just a laundry list of things that you...
I saw you had Dan Edwards on your hip all day
yeah,
yesterday.
Yeah, Dan Edwards has been on my hip all week. You couldn't ask for anyone better. He took care of me big time, and I think everyone did. But then once I hit the field, then it was football at that point, right. And that's maybe why you saw a smile.
Well, it just, you know, football, it's the National Football League, and it's a dream. I mean, you played football at college, and I can only imagine. And I don't want to hang on it, but just one more thought. You know, I'm sure, because we all do this, how would we do this? You know, and yeah. You're the coordinator, and there's all the traffic and the headsets. Mm-hmm. How was the game management side of it from your perspective? Did it go the way that you thought it would in terms of coordinating all everything that you had to do?
Yeah, I rehearsed it in my mind. I talked to the staff and everyone involved about how I thought that I would need to operate and what my role would be on game day. And the biggest adjustment was, you know, for us defensively and relative to communication in between series, and we were able to get that done. But it's important to, in order to manage the game, you have to watch the game. You always have to follow the ball. And so that was one thing that I wanted to make sure that I did, is that I didn't get caught up in necessarily drawing defensive plays on the sideline, you know, while the offense has the ball and things like that. I had to make sure that that we were sound and solid in our challenge operations and things like that. We were on top of that. And then, you know, have help in the box, that assigned guys to certain situations that just alert me to possible timeout situations or when you want to use them and things like that. This clock management, and we work through it, we communicate it, and I felt good about it. I was very I felt very confident during the game that we can make the decisions we needed to make.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. A lot of criticism, as you can imagine, leveled the way at your rookie quarterback. At one point, he had 151.3 passer rating after he threw the second touchdown to Cecil Shorts. And you thought, all right, you know, here he was 11 of 12. I mean, he had things rolling there. Wheels came off a bit in the second half. And everyone's questioning his toughness today. And so I'd like to get your perspective. You were there on the sideline. You saw the tape. Thoughts on Blaine Gabbert last night, good and bad?
Well, I think first and foremost, I think Blaine's he's plenty tough. And when you're down on the field and you've been coaching the ball as long as I have, you can tell when a guy's when he doesn't have the toughness that he needs to play the game. And I think Blaine's got plenty of toughness. What I'm choosing to do, and I think is what we need to do in our building here, is relative to Blaine and our football team, is we have to take the positives and identify, you know, what were the things that we were able to do, or he was able to do, that resulted in these positive plays, and focus on how can we get more of that on a more consistent basis, and then take the negative things and say, okay, now how do we clean this up? Ask the question, hey, why did this happen? How can we fix it? And then address it and then move on. And then that's why we have meetings and we have practice. And that's why it's so important that once you identify those things and you incorporate those things into the plan and you make the corrections, then once you finally have an opportunity to hit that practice field, you got to be flying around, up tempo, try to make it as game like as possible, because you can't just turn it on, and you can't go half speed or three quarter speed or even 80% in trying to execute plays and practicing, and then go out there and try to do it against other NFL players, you know, full speed in the game for 60 minutes and four quarters in the game. It's just not possible. So I think that we have a good formula relative to how we're going to practice, and I think that we're going to be able to build on the positives that we saw last night.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it was up-tempo in the second quarter when you scored the touchdowns, when things were going, right? I mean, do you want to see more of that?
Well, we were in rhythm, hitting open man, running the ball, things like that. We were able to get off the field on defense a few times. We were sound and solid in special teams at that point, and that's all part of the rhythm of your football team and momentum and things. And you could feel the momentum shifting in our direction. The pendulum was swinging our way, and it's really tough on an offense, regardless of who's at the helm or what type of weapons they have. If you're down several scores and then you become somewhat one-dimensional in an effort to try to catch up, then that makes it a lot easier on the defense.
Lots of questions today about the tempo in the second half. Did you have an issue with that? Do you want to see that back more to a rhythmic mode, like you said, in the second quarter?
Well, I think the pace in which, whether it was the play clock or how we were in and out of huddle, things like that, that's not as much a concern with me. I thought that was fine. We had good operation. The players were coming in on time. The communication was good. We were up to the line of scrimmage. We had very few penalties. The operation was good. But your tempo is slow when you're not efficient running the ball. You're not completing passes, things like that. You just don't have the momentum and the energy. And so I think from an execution standpoint and having success – especially on early downs. I think that all speeds, it makes the tempo look faster, and in fact it is faster.
We heard from some of the defensive guys that the offensive guys last week had an adjustment to the way that you practiced, up tempo. Do you suppose that this week when they take the field with you tomorrow, they'll have a better grasp on that?
Oh, there's no doubt. They know exactly what to expect right now, but you know, we're going to challenge them. We're going to challenge them tomorrow morning when we meet to increase that tempo and get better. If you're not getting better, you're getting worse.
Sure.
I mean, this is the National Football League, and at this point, everyone's scratching and clawing trying to find an edge. So we laid a foundation in a lot of ways and in various areas and how we want to do things. You know, we talk about culture, and that tempo is something that we've established, and we're going to build on that this week.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll take your calls, questions, and comments for Jaguars coach Mel Tucker. So hang on the line. We return after this quick timeout on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Jaguars Coaches Show. This Christmas season, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. There are 6 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. How about this, Coach? And you've preached team all week. Maurice Jones-Drew wants nothing to do with this, but that guy is a stud, and we all know it. And we're talking about a guy who's got a bullseye from every defender on the field, and yet last night, 187 total yards from scrimmage. And they have shown over and over and over on the TVs here in the studio on ESPN him putting his head down, pushing Quentin Jammer back over on the Chargers sideline. You just can't say enough about him, can you?
You really can't. He's an inspiration. I mean, he's a fierce competitor. When you talk about guys that play hard for 60 minutes, you know, week in and week out, you know, he's that type of guy, and he's very unselfish. You know, he wants to win. You know, it's all about the team. He doesn't want to talk about rushing titles or leader and this leader. He's all about, you know, hey, we didn't get the win, it wasn't good enough.
But can his teammates use that as a rallying point?
I think they will. You know, we'll see. I mean, I think, you know, they can. I think these guys play for each other. Everyone has a lot of respect for Mo and what he does for us. And I'm sure that if I were blocking for Mo, I would want to do everything I possibly could to see that he gets every possible inch that he can get. And I think that's what you see out there.
355-NFL-1. Let's grab Larry out at the beach with our first call of the evening. Larry, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you, guys. Hi, good evening, Brian and Coach Tucker. Hey, Coach Tucker, you're a Cleveland area guy, I think. Are you not?
Yes,
Cleveland
I am.
Area?
Yes, I am,
and
Larry.
Not, I am going to be biased in my comments because I'm a long time ago graduate of Mount Union College.
There you go.
And there's a guy in your team, Cecil Shorts, that when you listen to local radio banter throughout the day, they love to make him the butt of their comments as a representative of this receiving core. But when I go to the games, and I've been gone for all, I've missed 3 games since the Jaguars have come to town. And I like to take my binoculars and watch the guys and watch the stuff that's going on away from the action. And when I see Cecil coming in there, I'm seeing good blocking, leading the way downfield for Jones-Drew to make some breaks. And when I look at what he's been able to do, I think all told, the ball may have been thrown to him this year maybe about 9 times. I'd say maybe 3 or 4 of those were shoulda, coulda, caught them. But he's got 2 receptions. And I just see a kid that, you know, when you think of wide receivers in this league, I don't know many that became instant superstars in their first year, but over 2 or 3 years, they really emerge into something. And I kind of get that feeling about him if people are just willing to stick with him and work with him, because I think he's a good core kid and is going to continue to develop. Do you have any comments from a defensive perspective on how he's emerging?
Yeah, Larry, I appreciate your call. I feel the same way about Cecil. Cecil Shorts, he's a player. He can make plays. I think you saw that last night. He is one of our better blocking receivers. He did a real nice job returning the kickoffs. He was hitting it up in there pretty good. He, in training camp, he was one of the tougher guys to cover one-on-one as when he arrived on the scene. And those things that you see in Cecil are the same things that I see in our staff season. You're going to see more of him out there.
The catch that he made in the corner with the defender draped over him, That was a special catch. I mean, that was going, getting the ball at its highest point. That was textbook.
Yeah, that was a special catch, and he made it look easy.
Yeah.
And so
yeah, that's exciting.
So that is exciting, and he was fired up coming off the field, and that just shows you that, you know, those are the types of plays and the types of moments that from a coaching standpoint, you say, okay, how can we build on that? I mean, it's there, and I think coaching is important, and we continue to work with him. He's a guy that I think can be a core contributor for us. He needs to be that. He wants to be that. And I just can't wait to get back out there. I can't wait to get back out there for practice tomorrow, because here's a young man who has worked hard, who has come through some adversity, and then he's come out of it on the other side, you know, making plays and contributing on special teams and blocking in the run game, and he's going to get more opportunities.
You know, for a guy like that from a small school, who did not have the benefit of the off season to work and to learn, who comes in and blazes a trail during training camp and then falls off. It's about confidence for him right now, isn't it? I mean, we know he's got the skills, but it's about the confidence.
And he should have more confidence coming out of this game. And just looking at him on the sideline and his body language, I think he felt like he belonged out there. And you know, Cease is he is from my hometown. His dad's a coach. And he's come out of a, you know, Mount Union, a program. I mean, they may lose a game like once every 4 years over there. I mean, and he's been around players. You know, Pierre Garcon is a guy that is a good friend of his that came out of that program there at Mount Union, and actually Cecil was moved to wide receiver there when Pierre moved on to the NFL, and so that's how he got that start at that position. So. No, he's definitely a guy. You know, obviously he's a rookie. It's a long season, and those rookies they tend to have those ebbs and flows in their production and things like that. But he's a guy that we've stuck with. We'll continue to stick with him, and it's paying off for us right now.
All right, you're listening to the Jaguars Coaches Show with Mel Tucker. We take this break as we're just past the bottom of the hour. When we return, more of your calls, questions, and comments, and obviously we'll spend some time talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game this Sunday, 1:00 kickoff. Here in Jacksonville. More to come with head coach Mel Tucker after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. And welcome back to the Jaguars Coaches Show. Brian Sexton, happy to be with Mel Tucker here inside Jaguars Central at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. Jaguars and Buccaneers, it's a 1:00 kickoff on Sunday. Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show begins at 10 a.m. right here in Jacksonville on News Talk WOKV. We'll pick up the rest of the network with a set of the pregame show at noon, kickoff at 1, and of course afterwards, the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show. Grab a couple more calls here. And let's talk a little bit about the second quarter. And Chris joins us now from Orange Park. Chris, you're on with Mel Tucker. Welcome. Chris, are you with us? You know what? I'm sorry. I have hit the wrong one. That was JD. Chris, there you are.
It was good. The chemistry was good. But what with the injuries that we have right now, is there anything you can do to build on that second quarter, or do we need to wait for some of these other players to come back to it?
Is this Chris?
It's Chris.
Okay, Chris, I missed the first part of your question. Could you run that by me one more time?
Well, the second quarter, you had the timing, the chemistry. It just seemed like everybody was working really well together there. Is there enough there to build on so that it's more that second quarter stretches more into the full 60 minutes? Or with all of the injuries that we have right now, do we just not have personnel for that?
No, absolutely. We can build on that, and that's what we're going to do, and that's where we're going to start tomorrow. We're going to look at those things and say, "Hey, these are things that we did well, and understand why we were able to get that done, and then build from there." Now, the things that we didn't do well, obviously, they're correctable. Now, it's obvious we do have some personnel issues and some continuity issues in some parts of our team, but that's what we get. What we get paid to do as coaches, we got to get that figured out and figure out a way to get those guys lined up and get them where they need to be. And it's a bottom line production business. And that's part of the challenge. I mean, it's the next man up. We look forward to that challenge. I mean, when these guys come in here tomorrow, we're going to have a positive attitude. We're going to have a good plan for these guys. We're going to confront and demand and make sure we get it done right. And then we'll get ready for our next test.
Appreciate the phone call, Chris. Have a good evening. We take JD, who's standing by in Mandarin. JD, you're on with the head coach. Good evening.
Hey, good evening, Brian and Coach Tucker. Appreciate your tenacity, standing up and taking that position in a very odd time. Two questions for you. First of all, you being a defensive guy, can you look at our offense and say that we're so predictable that it's causing our defense to be on the field for too much of a time period, which I think is what's causing a lot of the scoring in the late part of the second half? And second question would be, this is not a conventional business. It's time to pin your ears back. You've got nothing to lose. Third and short, many times this year, even third and goal, fourth and goal, we've been stopped. Why wouldn't we not put our biggest meat on the front line and put our biggest guy in the backfield and challenge the defense with our biggest guys? And I'll sign off. Good luck, Coach. Pin your ears back and go after them.
Thanks. Thanks, JD. Appreciate that.
I think he wants to see Terrence Knight with
I think so, too. And I appreciate your tenacity and the passion and your voice as you call in, and that's what's so great about this game that we play. And we represent so many people. There's so many people pulling for us, and we feel that, and that's one of the things that's a motivating factor for us each and every day, is we don't want to let people down, and that's important to us. Short yardage is huge, you know, on defensively. You want to try to stay out of those third and one situations, because it's really hard to get off the field. You know, when they all they need is 1 yard, they just need a little bit of a surge, a little bit of a push, and we were able to win a short yard situation last night. But then offensively, I like what we did in short yards. We were able to find a way to get our pass down, and we were able to get a surge there in a sneak situation, things like that, and we'll continue to do those things now. Whether you'll see Pot Roast in there or any of those other guys, that remains to be seen. But
you threw it to Guy Whimper, for goodness sakes.
Threw it to Guy Whimper, and I tell you what, it looked good in practice, and it looked even better in the game. So.
Hey, did Guy have anything to say when he came to the sideline, like, throw it to me more, Coach, I'm open?
I did not talk to Guy after that, but I may give Guy an opportunity at one point in one of these team meetings to express how he felt at that moment.
Cause
that
was athletic.
You know, a guy is athletic, and I tell you what, that's something else you can build on right there. I mean, you know, I'm a guy that a coach that I like to take it and look at it from a positive nature, and that's a guy that's worked his butt off. I think he played a heck of a game last night. You know, you take something from the coaches think is going to work, and you make it work in practice, so the coaches feel good and feel confident they're working the game. Then you go into the game and you execute it properly, and you move the chains, and that's what it's all about. And we can do that at every position and every phase of our game.
All right, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. This break, then more with Jaguars coach Mel Tucker here on Jaguars Radio. And welcome back to the Jaguars Coaches Show. Brian Sexton along with Mel Tucker, and we've got Wes across the river in Orange Park. And Wes, you're up with the head coach. Good evening.
Hey, Coach Brian. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Coach, look, first thing, you seem like a good guy, and I know you're really trying, but here's the deal. Third quarter, we're down a couple of scores, middle and half, 1.5 quarters to play, and we are, giving runs to Maurice. Is probably going to get his average about 4.5 yards. We're trying our darnest to complete passes that go for 5 yards. And I guess what I'm trying to tell you is, it seems like when we're choosing our selection for plays, we're trying to limit the opportunities that Blaine has to prove we were wrong by picking him, rather than give him opportunities to prove we were right by selecting him. I'd rather him throw a couple interceptions and had 3 or 4 pass plays over 20 yards, or find out if he could do that, than what we did. And I guess what I'm really concerned about is the end of the year, we're going to know we got our quarterback of the future, but we're not going to know if we got the right quarterback of the future. And I think we need to find out what we got, Coach. Thank you.
Hey, Wes, I appreciate the call. And I think it is important to make sure that we evaluate all our guys and make sure that we know exactly what they can do. And that's part of this process that we go through. And we do a very, very thorough job as we grade the tape, making sure that if we grade the practice and grade the game tape and make sure that we know what guys can do. And Blaine is a guy that I think that we see what he can do. We see that he can make all the throws. We see him throw the ball deep and make plays that way. He can throw the ball outside. We've seen him hit the check down. We've seen him have touch on the screen pass. There's lots of things we've seen him do. We've seen him actually operate in terms of some no-huddle situations various times in the year. So, I think at some point you got to look back and say, what can't he do? And when I answer that question, I don't see an area where he's lacking, where he can't do something, where he's not capable. Now, at what level and at what efficiency and consistency, those things are that's to be determined. But I think all the tools are there, and I feel very, very confident in our staff that we'll put together plans that will feature what we can do best relative to the game situation. So I have no issues there, and we'll build on that.
Wes, we appreciate the phone call. Let's grab Chuck up in Charlotte next. Hello, Chuck. Welcome to the show.
Yes. Good evening, guys. I just wanted to say a few things. There's only a couple of things that I see wrong with the offense. Is that, one, we need to build the line stronger around Garrett because he's taking a couple of sacks, I see. And we need to get him some wide receivers. Like, we need to start getting stronger in the draft. Like, this year, we need to draft a big-time receiver and sign a receiver out of free agency. We need to get Garrett some help. And we need to get him, like, no offense to you, Tucker, but we need to get him an offensive-minded coach.
Well, Chuck, I appreciate your call. And I do agree. I mean, we've seen Blaine stand in there and take some shots in there, and he keeps coming back. And that's one of the reasons why I say that he's demonstrated toughness, and there's no doubt in my mind that he's got the toughness that it takes to play that position. And I challenged him last week that he needs to be our number one competitor, and we'll continue to challenge him and challenge him to do that. And I do think coaching is important. And then relative to whatever type of coach Blaine has in the future, I think that he'll become a great player. And so I'm very, very confident in what he can do.
Appreciate the phone call. We take a break. Come back with more with head coach Mel Tucker after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. And welcome back to the Jaguars Coaches Show. Brian Sexton along with Mel Tucker. And we go to the South Side where Chris has been waiting patiently. Hello, Chris.
How are you doing this evening?
Good.
Doing good, Chris.
Thanks, Coach Tucker. I appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I had a couple comments. First, I'm a Jaguar. I'm a Champions Club member. And we're getting ready to head out on the field last night. We took an impromptu poll. These are some pretty rabid Jaguar fans that I hang out with.
Yes, sir.
And you've got our vote, and we're hoping that things work out where you can stay in front.
Well, I appreciate that, Chris, and I appreciate your support. I know that that our team has a tremendous amount of support in the community. There's tons of people that care relative to my own personal situation. I'll tell you, just like I've told everyone else, it's really about what we can do, what I can do to help this team now in these next four games, and that's where my focus is. I've stressed that with the coaching staff that let's just stay focused on developing the players, coaching the players, motivating the players, preparing for our opponents, and going out there and trying to improve this football team. And I think if we keep the focus there, I think things will work out for the Jaguars, and that's what's most important right now.
Appreciate the phone call, Chris. John is on the north side. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Coach Tucker. How are y'all?
Doing great.
Good.
Coach, I just wanted to call in. The guy before last, I wanted to say, he was saying that he wanted an offensive-minded head coach, and I just think I'm a huge fan of yours. I've been saying all year to my friends, this is my second year as a season ticket holder. And I've been saying all year that you've been working for that job and you've earned it. And I think whether you support Coach Cutter next year moving forward. I hope you get the job. I'm really rooting for you. And whether you decide to support him or you go out and get another offensive coordinator, I just say I really think I really think that you deserve the job, and I think we can have success. You don't need an offensive-minded head coach. I mean, look, you know, we got Bill Belichick. Look at what he's done in the past. So I just want you to know that I'm rooting for you. And, Brian, I'm a big fan of yours. I love hearing your play calling.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And, you know, you just touched on an interesting point, and that is, Coach, that if you happen to be a defensive coordinator or an offensive coordinator, when you become the head coach, you're the head coach. I mean, you may have a proclivity to one side of the ball, or I know.
That was a good one. I'm writing that down. I'm going to look that up.
I've been reading a little bit too much today. But you may have an affinity for one side of the ball or other because that's where a specialty lies. But you can't just focus. You have to have an offensive philosophy and a defensive philosophy, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the number one quality you have to have as a head coach is you have to have leadership ability. You have to be a leader. Because, you know, that's what it's all about. And you have to be able to bring people together. You have to be able to have a great perspective, great awareness, and be able to see the big picture. And so those are things that I am attempting to do right now. And it is about the team, offense, defense, and special teams, and how we all fit together and how we can work together for a common goal. And this week that goal is to win this football game we got coming up. And so I appreciate all the support from all of the fans whether they are supporting me in particular or not. Everyone that's calling in and everyone who is cares about the Jaguars and supporting this football team, that's the most important thing right now.
Betcha. All right, Coach. We have one more break to come back. Then I want to ask you about Josh Freeman, that big quarterback over across the way in Tampa. One final timeout here on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back. Coach's Show with Mel Tucker. About 2 minutes left in this. And, Coach, I want to get your thoughts on Josh Freeman. Here's a guy who, a year ago, 25 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, highly rated, 95.6 passer rating. This year, the numbers are reversed. He's struggling a little bit. But this is a big-time arm on a really big guy, almost 6'7", 260.
Yeah, he's a heck of a player. At any time you read off his stats from a year ago, and my philosophy is when you're attempting to game plan for a guy like this, you expect them and anticipate that they'll be at their best. And so we're planning for him to be big and strong and fast and be able to get outside the pocket and make throws on the run and stretch the defense in the pass game and able to stretch your pocket collapse and your coordinated rush because he can't pull it down and move the chains that way. So he's a tremendous player. I know they're lucky to have him, and it's going to be a tough test for us.
How do you coach your pass rushers to get this guy on the ground? It is not an easy thing to do. Do you swarm tackle him? I mean, what do you do?
Well, I'll tell you, the number one thing is going to take a second and third effort from our rushers, and it's going to have to be a relentless effort to get to him first and foremost. And if we do get there, or when we do get there, we got to get him on the ground.
We're out of time. Coach, thanks so much for your time this evening. Best of luck this week against the Buccaneers.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, folks. That's it for the Mel Tucker Show. Good night, everybody.
This has been the Jaguars Coaches Show. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk with Jaguars head coach, Mel Tucker. The Jaguars Coaches Show is a presentation of the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.